This is the smell of a warm 3-day-old egg salad sandwich in a wimpy trash bag.
Wimpy, wimpy, wimpy!
Blech! And this is the smell of that same sandwich in a hefty, ultra-strong trash bag with new Fabuloso lemon scent.
Hefty, hefty, hefty!
Smell the difference? When life gives you stinky, get Hefty Ultra Strong with new Fabuloso lemon scent. It smells like clean, freshly picked lemons. So no matter what's inside your trash, you can stop the stink and smell the lemon.
Greetings, nerds. This is Scene and Nerd. I'm your host, Sarah Belmont, and with me, as always, is our Mr. Producer, Will Polk. How are you doing tonight, Will?
Doing very, very well, Sarah, and you know why. Not to get political or anything, but anyway.
That's like the biggest tease ever, and you know why.
No, yeah, it's been a good November so far. It's been a good November. But how are you doing? I know you have you been able to like. So Sarah like sent me pictures of their first snow. I guess it's your first snowfall.
No.
Around the snowfall.
No, well,
no. Of this year, of this season, right?
No, we got snow earlier in October. It's just that when you get 14 to 16 inches in one night.
I think
like it's our first major snowfall. Town is shut down. Don't do anything because you're going to get stuck. And also people are already bad drivers and snow just makes it worse. So I can feel my shoulders now in a non-sore way.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. I felt so bad for you when you sent me the pictures of like your driveway. It was like, holy crap. I'm glad I live in North Carolina.
I feel like I've been on my driveway for at least 12 hours. I finally seem somewhat normal, but this is just the first one. There's probably going to be a few more other days like this to come. Tis Alaska, so you never know.
You never know. Yeah, well, like I said, it was like 70 degrees here today, so, you know, it's I have no complaints.
So mean.
Well, like I told you,
enjoy your November. You earned it, Will, because I know all about your October. So you can take all of your wins right now because
I'm definitely taking the W's. Definitely.
There's no good transition. We need to like figure out a way to talk about people who have died in a way that doesn't put me in a segue issue.
Well, we don't have to start with this one.
I know, but it's right there in front of me and I want to get it out of the way.
Okay.
Everyone did receive notice that Alex Trebek did pass away from colon cancer or prostate cancer?
Pancreatic.
You're like, neither this one. I'm like, okay.
All right. Let's start over.
No, that's, I like that bit. He passed away and geez, that's insane to me. Like Alex Trebek, Jeopardy. No Alex Trebek, Jeopardy. I can't picture that.
Oh, I can't either. And, you know, given that, you know, just last week we were joking about the, you know, when Sean Connery passed away and how they will have the little bits on Saturday Night Live with Sean Connery playing, on the Saturday Night Live and Alex Trebek and of course, but Alex, you're right. I mean, Jeopardy, Alex Trebek, synonymous with one another. He lived a full life and. You know, when we first got the word, I guess it was about over a year and a half or so ago when he was diagnosed. Announced that he did have stage 4 cancer and pancreatic cancer and he was going to fight it and made it back and filmed some more shows it's really, you know, really something when you think about the full life that he lived. And clearly he probably had no regrets, and he you know, left a huge legacy. And whoever comes after him, where the, you know, obviously, you know, I've seen people say, well, Ken Jennings should be the next host. No. or whatever, but you know, they'll find someone. But you know, he definitely left his mark on television and people's lives. And you know, he may be a smart cool. So
really, Will, you're not gonna name the obvious choice to replace him? I mean, there was a campaign. The guy made buttons. Okay, Will obviously forgot about this.
I forgot about this one. Yeah,
Josh McCuga.
Oh yes, that's right. I had completely forgotten about that.
Oh yes.
Yeah, that's right. Because he has a show now, what, Food Network or something?
Yeah, History Channel.
History Channel, that's right.
Everyone thinks it's Food Network, but it's History Channel because they eat old food, which is gross. But and also ironic because Josh apparently is allergic to everything. And no, I'm not a stalker. I just have been watching Josh McCuga since 2014, mm-hmm. when I first got into Christian Harloff, Mark Ellis, and Schmoes. But Josh McCuga has been campaigning for a while. You made that. And you can see his lovely skills. Just enter Josh Birdie.
Oh, yeah.
And he's actually done his own version of this, especially with the Kind of Funny crew, which is a great laugh because they suck at trivia. And anyways, but yeah.
I saw another name.
But you're right. He lived a full life, and that is it for that. Other weird, I don't know if this is sad or just like disturbing. And this feels like a headline that I've read about, mm-hmm. for at least the last year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's crazy. Johnny Depp has been fired from Fantastic Beasts franchise after losing in the Amber Heard libel case.
Yeah. I mean, that was a very disturbing allegations back and forth between both Johnny Depp, Amber Heard, as far as domestic violence. And you know, it's just crazy things that they were alleging each person of doing to the other. And I guess just recently the judge did find that that Amber had not, and I guess the Sun newspaper in particular, I think, was the one who had published a lot of these allegations, had not libeled Mr. Depp. And shortly after that, Warner Brothers was asked for his resignation, and he did resign. But of course, he gets to walk away with $10 million from this as well. So because of the way he had written his contract. So I mean, you know, kudos to him having good lawyers to had a pay or play contract. And I guess he had already filmed one scene, and he was able to walk away with the money. But I saw where they also had delayed the release of the film, and I think they have now at least tentatively scheduled the film to come out in July of 2022, which of course with COVID, you know, who knows if that's going to even stick. But
who cares about Fantastic Beasts right now? Like, this is a crazy part of this whole discussion that has been coming up, especially with Johnny Depp and Amber Heard, is honestly, I've only seen the first one. I saw it one time, never returned to it.
Yeah.
Like, it, and then everything going on with J.K. Rowling and Ezra Miller's in it. And it's just like, put the thing to bed.
Because I think the first film, did make $1 billion. And I think the second one definitely had a drop off. You're right. I mean, this is a franchise that at this juncture, just so much controversy surrounding the creative and artistic folks behind it. that it's, you're right. It's getting, the franchise itself is getting lost with all the real life drama that people who either wrote the story or are involved with the film have in their surrounding their lives at this point, to the point that, yeah, I didn't see the second film either. And yeah, I've only watched, I've only watched the first one time, and really have no desire to see the third one either. Yeah. So
what is the bigger conversation, or what should be, is WB performing this action against Johnny Depp, and yet Amber Heard, who's also in a WB picture, Aquaman, will she, won't she, what are they doing there? And I was listening to SCN, and they were also talking about how this is just, it's weird that this keeps happening with WB. In a like not this exact case. I understand, like, they were married. There was a lot of crap that happened during that marriage. But it's interesting that the stars who appear in WB pictures, some, like, there's a trail of bad things and WB trying to figure out what to do.
Yeah. Well, somehow Ezra Miller managed to survive whatever that was in Iceland. And
did he survive it, or did they just cover it up and say, hey, FYI, while you're trying to figure out what happened in Iceland, look over here, it's Michael Keaton.
Well, there's that too.
Yeah.
But then, of course, the whole Ray Fisher story came out this this summer as well. And, you know, that's just been ongoing things with it. I know I put it on the rundown to talk about last week, but I took it off because it's one of those things that it seems Geoff Johns and Josh Whedon and some other folks were very toxic and diminished race and Cyborg story in the Justice League, and it looks like it's going to be rectified in the Snyder cut that will be coming out on HBO Max. So, but you know, there was a lot of back and forth there too, as far as what the studio investigated and how much, you know, where Ray Fisher and the studio were trying to meet, and there was some back and forth there as far as just even trying to get that meeting scheduled. So there's just a lot of things going on, as you said, with that studio.
Sorry. It's interesting to compare it to Disney, who will fire people just because of a tweet.
Yes, they will. And,
like, that's a very polarizing perspective, but at the same time, I don't know which one I would prefer more, because at least they're kind of doing stuff. And granted, I guess WB to an extent has fired people for tweets.
Yeah, they have. At least on the television side. Yeah, look at Hartley Sawyer. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly who I was thinking of. It's just, we'll see what happens with Amber Heard, Aquaman, whatever this DC verse is happening. It's such a joke. But to go back to a sturdy, tried and true cinematic universe, television universe, WandaVision, I'm ready for it. We did get a random piece of news that Loki has been renewed for a season 2.
Were they even able to finish filming season 1? Or even did they even manage to start season 1 as far as the production?
I think everyone has been so obsessed with keeping tabs on Winter Soldier and WandaVision that, like, and this is just master, like, Loki, tried and true.
Yeah.
Like, hey guys, remember me? Yeah,
well, totally.
I don't know when season 1 is going to premiere, but season 2 will be shortly.
Yeah, you're right. It totally is Loki. He just pops up and creates all kind of mayhem, and then he slithers off to wherever he goes, and then boom, he's there again. But I guess this was discovered in a Production Weekly, which I guess is like a trade publication for folks who are looking for work in the industry, and there was a listing that they were looking for cast and crew to work on this show for season two. And I don't think, obviously, that Disney Plus has not confirmed it, but clearly they're looking to start pre-production for Loki season two in January of 2022. So this particular publication does have, you know, it's more than just someone speculating on Reddit. So,
well, I'm all for it. I need WandaVision at this point. I want WandaVision, then I want Buck and Falcon. I am not having a good night tonight, people. I don't know what's happening.
It's your shoulders. I'm telling you, it's all the shoveling, all that snow. It's just like worn you out.
And of course, I guess our news won't be complete if Tom Holland doesn't appear on the rundown with a behind the scenes photo of a movie he's filming. But I have not seen the photo. Will, you have? Do you want to explain?
Sure. It's Tom Holland last week posted on his Instagram a photo of himself in the Spider-Man suit on set in front of a blue screen. And he also had a face covering, another mask on top of it, an N95 on top of it. I think, and basically, you know, wear a mask, where to? It was the caption, if I recall, from that. But yes, it was, again, confirmation that Spider-Man 3 has started production in Atlanta. And we're anxiously waiting for that film to come out, because we have been starved of anything MCU this year to date. So, but it was just a nice reminder that hopefully things will start getting back to normal in some future date, and that production is going forward. And it was, you know, it was also a little nice touch. Obviously, they'll digitally edit that out, but showing how they're trying to be safe on the set as well, given that so many productions, you see, I stopped even adding them to the rundown or posting about them, because they, you know, it seems every day some production's getting impacted by COVID, just like we are in the real world. I mean, this is where we are at this point.
Yeah, I think that's what they call a contagious disease.
Yeah. Exactly.
It's contagion. Yeah. No, I think you're right. It's interesting that simultaneously we get notifications that productions are being shut down. Films are being delayed. It's the biggest thing that continues to just like, oh, this is now pushed back. This is now pushed back. But every now and then you'll see a production boom or start. That is great, except for when you're reminded about how many finished products have been delayed.
I was even reading today, like, where the Motion Picture Association, you know, teamed up with the stage and theater production, trying to, you know, get funds from Congress to help bail them out, from going under because of obviously the lack of revenue that they generally, you know, would make this year is dried up. And so, yeah, you're right. I mean, it's one of those things that, yes, it's exciting to see things proceeding, but you're right. There's such a backlog of so many projects that have been delayed this year and will probably be delayed even more, probably beginning of next year until we really turn the corner with this thing, which hopefully with the news of the Pfizer vaccine, maybe we're getting there. So
we'll get there eventually. Yeah. It's just going to be a clusterfuck.
Yeah.
I see like, oh, this is finally coming out. And then next week, oh, this is coming out.
Yeah.
Oh my God. It's just going to be chaotic. Speaking about chaotic things, Stargirl adds comedian Jim Gaffigan as the voice of the CGI character Thunderbolt, a wish-granting pink imp that was trapped in the pink pen we saw in the first season.
Yeah, we did. And whenever Courtney went to the JSA headquarters with Pat and got all those items, That was one of them. And of course, we did not see it again the rest of the season. I think it was teased. Yeah, it was teased in I think maybe like, about the 9th or 10th episode or the finale.
No, it was really weird because I think it was right when she started. She got all of
the That's props, right.
And then it was midway. It was teased very early on, and then they didn't revisit it. But
that's right. That's right.
I'm not surprised that we're going to be seeing it come back because the writers on that show know how to plant Easter eggs and give it time to be forgotten about.
Yeah. I thought it was later in the season, but now that you've mentioned that, it was early on, I think, maybe when either Wildcat or Dr. Midnight, whenever I think one of the two, when they came to her room and she was talking to them, I think one of them asked about the pen at that point, if I recall. I haven't watched the first season since it aired. You are correct. It wasn't midway in the first season.
Yeah. Other first seasons that we think are going to go well, and then the headline like this comes out. There was an article written. What magazine was it on?
It was the AV Club Onion. AV Club. Yep.
Interviewed with a writer in the Superman and Lois writers' room who apparently was fired because they were trying to create equality.
So Nadria Tucker, she also worked on she was a story editor for one of our past favorites, Krypton. Mm-hmm. So she has some cred in the Superman universe. She was part of the writer's room and was pointing out some places where they were making Me Too jokes and defending the Bechdel test, which I guess is this where I guess in works of fiction, if basically two women are in a room, they're talking about something other than the man. So I guess so there was that. And it also, given that seems that there were some black characters who were only being portrayed as villains, so she was raising many concerns about some of the dialogue and structure of how this series was being constructed at this point. And as you said, her contract was not renewed. And not the kind of stories you want to see coming out from your series, especially given that the showrunner for this series was one of the showrunners of The Flash at the time when they had their issues with with their Andrew Kreisberg, Todd Helbring.
Mm-hmm.
As we were discussing earlier this evening with issues of WB, they really don't need to be having these kind of stories coming out. I'm glad they're coming out. I'm glad they're not getting shoved under the rug. But again, it's showing that there's still a long ways to go with many things in Hollywood, just like it is in society. But hopefully they can get these things worked out. And now I'm even more curious in a train wreck kind of way of like what we're going to see when the series premieres in February next year.
Yeah, it kind of makes you more sensitive to the dialogue, the choices of who's playing what parts in the episodes. I mean, Superman and Lois right now, white. So we can imagine their kids are going to be white, and we'll see how they decide to diversify that nuclear unit a little bit and expand it. They've done a pretty good job on that on other CW shows. So that part, that was probably the bit that threw me the most. the Me Too stuff, I mean, you already hit the nail on that coffin about how, well, it's interesting. The showrunner was here and now it's here. And the sad part is this girl is talented because she wrote one of the best Superman series.
Yeah, exactly.
She don't want to lose her. She knows her crap. Jeez. God.
Yeah.
She should go write Krypton season 3. But anyways, last but not least, before we get into the crux of our show tonight, there might be a Boba Fett spinoff series. Like, duh.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Disney Plus and Lucasfilm, they were just waiting, let the dust settle a little bit. And then, because remember, it's funny because prior to Solo, we were supposed to get all these, you know, we're going to get a Boba Fett film, maybe. We're going to get an Obi-Wan film, maybe. And then Solo happened. And then all now, thankfully, we have Disney Plus. So we're just going to put them all over there.
Yeah. And I think it's interesting. Disney does have this tendency to when they want to go all in, they'll go all in.
They will.
And they have clearly went all in on Disney Plus. I'm a fan of it. As long as they don't go back, don't do what they did with Mulan, where it's like, oh, there's a $35 rental on top of the subscription service you already pay for. It's like, what the heck is that?
Yeah, that was ridiculous. I'm like, when I saw that there was the option to wait until December, I'm like, oh yeah, that's what I'm going to do. But you're right, they are going all in because there is the Cassian Andor story series for spinoff from the that film and. Yeah, I'm sorry. I just had a brain fart there. It's like one of my favorite ones. It's Monday. Brain fart. It happens. Film. Yeah.
That film.
Rogue One. Yes. I love Rogue One too. That's a scary thing about it. This has had a brain moment there. But you have that one, and of course Obi-Wan with Deborah Chow. Directing it, and now it looks like we'll have Boba Fett. And then, of course, you know, there was that rumor that dropped a few months ago about a Lando series, too. We'll see, you know, see if that is actually something that may or may not happen. But, you know, who knows when Donald Glover could fit that in.
Mickey, slow your roll, okay? Yeah. Slow your freaking roll. Okay, you got projects on the shelf right now that we want to see, i.e. Black Widow. And just why don't you focus on them before you recreate the Star Wars universe that you also burned down, but whatever. Whatever.
They're trying to build a backup. It's a phoenix rise from the ashes.
They really are trying hard. And Mandalorian season 2 is not a bad step forward. We are going to do a spoiler talk about the second episode, The Passenger. I like this episode. I'm not in love with this episode. I like it.
This is the smell of the leftover tuna fish sandwich you left in your lunchbox over the weekend in a wimpy trash bag.
Wimpy, wimpy, wimpy!
Blech! And this is the smell of that same sandwich in a Hefty Ultra Strong trash bag.
Hefty, hefty, hefty!
Ah, smell the difference? Hefty Ultra Strong has Arm & Hammer with continuous odor control, so no matter what's inside your trash... you can stay one step ahead of stinky. And for bigger jobs, try the superior strength of Hefty large black bags.
Like the spiders.
Yeah.
I cringed so freaking much for the last 20 minutes of this episode. And every time I listen to people talk about it and I think about it, I just feel like there's 20 spiders on me.
Yes.
And I like that feeling.
Yes, yes. That's everybody in my household was just like, okay, because they knew how I'm the same way about spiders. And they're like, Will, are you okay? I'm like, Dad, are you okay? I'm like, yeah, I'm making it.
It's just so freaking creepy.
They were creepy, and you know it's pretty cool that they were inspired by Ralph McQuarrie's concept art for Empire Strikes Back for a similar type creature on Dagobah. And and so, yeah, and that concept art was just as equally creepy as what they produced for the show this week. But yeah, it I like you. I enjoyed. I liked this episode. I didn't love it either. It was serviceable. It was kind of one of those episodes where it right now you're kind of like, what's the point of this? But at the same time, it is carrying the story forward, and that's the thing about this show is that even though they have this as we talked about last week, they have this overarching theme of him finding the Mandalorians and delivering the child back to his kind. The way these shows are structured, they really are one-offs in many cases. And this was definitely one of those weeks where this seemed to be just a one-off that maybe, whenever they do get the Trask next week, we'll get the payoff for what transpired this week.
Yeah, this definitely felt not like a one-off, but a part one of two. Just because there was so much exposition and need to understand, okay, so who the passenger is, why Mando needs to bring her, there was a line, but these are trying times, I think was said both at the beginning of the episode and at the end of the episode, which I thought was a great bookend.
Yep.
A piece of dialogue, because you kind of set it up so that Mando is forced to take this passenger. But there are a few things that he's used to being able to do that he can't do, like the hyperspace. Mm-hmm. So there's some kinks. Yep. And that ends up them where on an ice planet, and we'll get to Baby Yoda. We'll get to Baby Yoda.
Yeah.
But there's parts of this that I really like. It just didn't feel full. There was something about it that where I was like, I want more in a good way, but it didn't feel complete. It felt like part one of part two. And I'm very interested with part two because I like what I did like about this more so than last week's is it touched on by introducing the passenger. She basically has her eggs that are the last of her kind that she needs to get to a place so they can be fertilized and so that her species will live on, which I thought was such a good way to add that other layer of the whole thing we were talking about where Mando is trying to reconnect with the Mandalorian culture and while also trying to find the child species and so he can be reunited with his people. And so you're added with a dying species. So I thought that was very clever.
Yeah.
And also making it a female, because we get a lot of men on this show and a lot of paternal instincts. So to have her be a mother protecting her flock, she did a horrible job, by the way. We'll get to that later. But I thought those pieces were really good. And this will probably get an Emmy for set design.
Definitely. Definitely. The sets were just amazing, that what they were able to pull off on that soundstage, from the ice planet. Also, this revisiting Tatooine and going back to the bar in Mos Eisley and seeing some of the, what I've really been liking about this show is bringing in the lore and bringing in like the things like the Sabacc game that Amy Sedaris' character was playing, I think that was the game that Han won the Falcon from Lando, and then also Dr. Mandible, which was also a nice little touch. The first, you know, we saw that the first season. Also, just a nice little nod, tip of the hat to another universe at the MCU with Peyton Reed as director this week with Ant-Man, and so that was that also a nice little touch. But the biggie, of course, this week was the May the Force Be With You. When Mando encountered the New Republic X-Wings, whenever he was going to the system, and you know, we see that Mando has a lot of great skills, but being a liar is not one of them. So, because he...
Sorry, I was just going to add on there, because May the Force Be With You, I didn't stand out to me as much. And I think because I've heard it so much, it felt thick, felt planted. But I think too, another reason why I like this episode so much is because of a point you brought up last week, where you have to remember this is what happened after the Empire fell, And so the fact that they kept saying these are trying times, it's actually, to me, it stood out more because it shouldn't be trying times. Right. There was victory. Like, the good guys won. May the Force be with you. So why is it so hard? And that's another thing that they did a good job of, is where Mando is caught by, quote unquote, the good guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was.
And there's like this new, and they're trying to root out any Empire sympathists, which is a interesting juxtaposition. It's just like, wait a second, you're doing exactly what they were doing, but since you're the victors, you have the power. So I mean, those little touches I really liked.
Yeah, and I think that's why the line "May the Force be with you" stood out to me, because to your point, you know, these two pilots were trying to root out Imperial sympathizers, and it is a trying time, and you know, these systems on the Outer Rim, who used to be under the Empire's control, and you know, thinking back to New Hope when Princess Leia, you know, told Moff Tarkin, you know, the tighter your grip you put on the Empire's grips on these systems, the more of them are going to slip out of their fingers, and we're seeing that now in the context of the New Republic, that they're trying to protect all these systems, but they're stretched very thin, and. Mm-hmm. And trying to keep up this large infrastructure in the galaxy. So, and also, of course, thinking through the rest of the trilogy and when we got to the next three films after Mandalorian, as far as in the Star Wars timeline, how the Jedi are treated as this like mythic thing. Whereas, you know, in this context, it's still fresh in everybody's head that the Jedi is still around and so, you know, him saying that, it was just a good like little tip of the hat to like where we are in the universe and the new Republic trying to govern after the Empire has fallen.
Yeah, and I think this helps kind of remind us that our favorite franchises are suddenly TV shows, but the quality is still there. I mean, we literally got a spaceship fight.
Yeah.
Race.
Yes, we did.
Which I would have never thought 5 years ago that would have been on a TV show. Mm-hmm. And it was good freaking quality.
It was
very good quality. So I was like Baby Yoda, just like, I'm here for the ride. Give me the sidecar. I'm all for it. But speaking about Baby Yoda.
Yeah.
Okay. So, Will, I'm going to let you start because you came on tonight very fiery and very passionate about Baby Yoda and his actions.
Oh, yeah. Baby Yoda. Yeah. Baby. What did I say in your pre-show? Baby murder. Baby.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, maybe,
accusations.
Yeah. I may have been a bit harsh, but at the same time, it was, you know, I think you get so caught up in it's easy to get caught up in the cuteness of Baby Yoda. And even though Baby Yoda is 50 years old, you know, for at least in Yoda species, that he's still a baby and he's still learning, and he basically just goes by instinct. And because, for example, in the first season, whenever Mando was threatened, perceived Mando being threatened by Cara Dune, he like put her in a force chokehold. And this season, in this episode in particular, he's just, you know, he's just thinking with his gut and thinking with his stomach. And he sees these very appetizing eggs in the tank there. And so,
but it's interesting how, and I totally understand why all of the Baby Yoda's evil and everything. I get it, but Baby Yoda has had an appetite since day one.
Yeah. Oh, he loves frogs. I'm surprised.
which makes me think that they had this idea in their mind for a very long time to eventually have him be a baby murderer. because he's eating in every episode, which makes me think, Mando, you gotta give, like, what are you feeding the kid? The kid is clearly hungry 24/7.
Yeah. Feed the kid. And I think that's part of the thing too. It's just like, you know, cause Mando, he's learning, because whenever he was like, stop, it was, you know, he's trying to discipline Baby Yoda whenever early in the episode. It was like that new parent trying to figure out, like, what do I do here? And
it's just there was no punishment, which is just bad parenting.
Yeah, there was no timeout. You should have, he tried to put baby, he did put him in the little husk there, a little, you know, sack there in the razor crest, to keep him from eating. So he did try, to Mando's credit. But there was no correction, because as we saw later in the episode, he just let Baby Yoda go wander off. And again, Baby Yoda's appetites almost got them all killed.
Well, you know how you prevent that. You make the kid watch Aliens.
Yeah.
The kid has seen the movie Aliens. There is no way in hell he would have done that. Because I was just, like, that's another thing. It's one thing for the spiders. Mm-hmm. But you had them in the eggs that are just so xenomorph. And I was just like, I don't like this. I don't like it. Like, that is one of the scenes, like, it's not even the aliens that scare me in the movie Alien. Mm-hmm. It is the whole way that they get into your body.
Yeah.
And so having that, this episode should have been aired on Halloween. Like, this is such a Star Wars Halloween episode.
True.
That, I mean, we're relatively close, so it works, but yeah. I think it would have been perfect had it aired on, like, Halloween.
Oh, that's a very good point. You're right, because it was a very dark, and I even commented to my family when we were watching, like, this was a dark episode. Mm-hmm. When I was watching it, because for various things that you just talked about, and also just again the fact that Baby Yoda was eating the eggs, and granted, they weren't fertilized yet, so they were just at this point just unfertilized eggs that they were transporting to prolong this family line. But I was just thinking bigger point, like, you know, you're not going into hyperspace so you don't damage these things. And yet this kid is just like eating them left and right. Like they're just, you know, like they're little snacks. And so,
and the mom saved him at one point.
Yes. Yes. And I guess for me that it tonally, I guess, was where it got me, in that it was kind of played as a gag with him eating the eggs, and it just seemed like, just from a tonal standpoint, it just kind of rubbed me the wrong way.
Yeah, I would argue that they had to do it as a gag because all of the rest of the elements were so dark. There was really no other way to get comic relief.
Yeah.
And so they kind of, in a way, they've been always running this gag of Yoda eats anything.
Right, right. And this time Yoda almost, this time it really did almost get you guys killed. But and I guess you're right. I mean, that's part of it. And they did need to, it was almost dark humor, I guess, in that regard. But to get because of the cuteness factor of Baby Yoda and stuff. But again, the tone just didn't sit well with me. And then, of course, whenever he did go into the spider's den and had there, then I was just like, yep. See, Mando, you gotta teach this kid.
I think that was where the decision that they went a bit too dark with it is that it should have been something else to, like when they were putting the eggs back into the container, maybe one of them slipped out and accidentally hit one of the eggs and started this whole thing, as opposed to Yoda or the child just walking around and.
Thank you.
Apparently, don't, the eggs are not for him.
Yeah.
So yeah. I see your point, but I didn't mind it as much, and it's interesting because now, like, just when you think that ship is on its last beat, it really is on its last beat.
Yeah.
Now I did not understand. Because how what do we want to call them? The people who end up saving the day.
The, as far as the New Republic's?
Yeah, the New Republic scouts come back and they end up saving everyone in a very, very much like, okay, so at what point does something happen? What's going on? Because I didn't understand how they were like, oh, we thought you were bad, but now we think you're good, but we're also not going to help you that much, so have fun.
Yeah. Well, I guess they really, basically, we saved you. You have an arrest warrant out for you. For you in this other system for abduction I wasn't clear if it was the child or maybe someone else, but we'll say, you know, we saved you and we did you a solid by letting you go and not arresting you for this outstanding warrant. That's all we're gonna, you know, that's all we're gonna do for you. And you get off this ice planet, good for you, but you know, we've done what we're gonna do.
Interesting. It was just too much dialogue for me.
Yeah, it was a lot of dialogue, but it was one of those things where, you know, maybe it was just showing how the limitations of the New Republic, or maybe that with these particular pilots, like, okay, we did our job here. We rest, you know, we saved you from these spider creatures. We basically cut you a deal. Make sure you have the appropriate transponder or whatever in your ship next time, because we know who you are, and if you come through these parts again, we're not going to catch you any slack. We're going to vaporize you. So
yeah, we're going to feed you to the spiders next.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. I just felt like it was kind of, they really wanted to have that last shot of the most banged up spaceship ever.
Totally. Yeah,
just floating through space, and you're like, really? There's a child and unfertilized eggs on that thing.
and a frog who, you know, a frog mom who, you know, is very resourceful. I mean, I thought that was another little nice touch that because they had the killer droid that she utilized to communicate with Mando. And he was all freaked out, like, oh crap, you're gonna, like, this thing's gonna, like, get us. And she, you know, she definitely showed her technical savvy and skills, and, you know, and her survival instinct, because be able to communicate with Mando.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I really like that part as well. I the droids, as much as the first season Mando kind of came to terms with the droids, I like how they're sprinkling that in this season, and yeah. it was good. It was a good callback and everything, and very resourceful. All right, so that is it for us on the Mandalorian. Until next week, speaking about things to come. This is a reminder: The Crown will return on November 15th, and it'll feature Princess Diana. And the wedding, and oh my God, Margaret Thatcher. So I'm so excited. Have you seen this freaking trailer? This trailer is a beast.
It is. I love that trailer. It's just like, you bring it on, got the popcorn ready. I'm so looking forward to season 4.
Oh my God. That scene where Margaret Thatcher comes in and it says, you know, we were born the same year. Who's a senior? I am. it's like okay, things are gonna go down. So I'm so excited for this. I can't wait after that trailer. Now The Right Stuff also did drop an episode. Will, what are your thoughts on the most recent episode of The Right Stuff?
See, you know how I was telling you last week about John Glenn being how we
I don't think his name ever comes up when we talk about this show.
You know, not at all. But to my, you know, last week I was like, who was the more sympathetic person in the situation, Shepard or Glenn? And then the scene this week, spoiler alert, where Annie, he's like sitting in the bathtub, like cranking out these letters and stuff, trying to, you know, again, say why he should be the first. And then she's like, dude, really? So it reminded me of another series, where, From the Earth to the Moon. I don't know if you ever watched that one. It was done by Tom Hanks. It was an HBO series, miniseries, chronicling the space program from Mercury to Apollo with the moon landing. And they were profiling the new 9 Gemini astronauts, the program in between Mercury and Apollo. And Tony Goldwyn, who played Neil Armstrong, they were sitting around talking about the people, the Mercury astronauts, and who was sticking around, who was going. And they were talking about John Glenn's political aspirations, and one of the things was, you think he'd be satisfied with being president? I always thought he'd run for king. And I thought about that line when I was watching this episode this week, just showing how a political creature he was, and to the point where Annie was really irritated with him and tried to get him to come to a senses, but of course he didn't, which, and of course it blew up in his face when he sat down with the leadership there at NASA.
Yeah, I didn't care for this episode. There was nothing that really stood out to me as like, oh, that's interesting. Yeah. I did like that line, it appears that you're the one who's unfit now. Because that's really what was happening, is that he didn't get what he wanted. He's throwing a tantrum. And they also started to set up this idea that that of what we already kind of know is going to likely happen. And with how he's going to end up being first with the whole medical stuff. But yeah, I just, again, this episode, for some reason, it just fell flat for me. I was like, huh?
Yeah. Okay. It was same for me. I don't know if it was just the things going on during a week or what, but I just couldn't really get locked in with this one either this week.
Yeah, there was a much larger event this week that just went on and on.
Yeah.
Like, that's why I had to take This Is Up off the rundown. They didn't have a second. They're like, well, wait, we'll give it a week.
yeah, give it a week. No, we got enough drama in the country right now.
Jesus Christ. Talk about a movie in the making. God, yeah. That saga.
Yeah, jeez. Yeah.
There was a great picture that went around Facebook of this kid, clearly a T-ball, running to home plate and just going so slow. And it was like, that's Arizona counting their votes.
Yeah.
or I think it was Nevada.
Nevada. Yeah. Yeah. Nevada.
My God.
Yeah, but Arizona was right, not too far behind.
Yeah, there was like five states where you're like, seriously?
Yeah.
What's happening here?
Yeah.
Oh, man. All right, on that note, I think that's it for us tonight. Will, why don't you tell our listeners where they can find you?
Yes, you can find me, and I promise I won't brain fart on my name. It's Will M. Polk at WILLMPOLK.
And you can follow me on Twitter at SJ Belmont, SJBELMONT. Please follow our crew on Twitter at Cena Nerd. Friend us on Facebook? Really? I probably say that every week. And
I'm telling you, it's just been this, hey, we're all to be forgiven. It's been a long week for everyone.
Forgive us and follow us on Instagram, but most importantly, rate, subscribe, and comment on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts. Good night, Geek Out. You're welcome.